Welcome back to Your Average Witch, where every Tuesday we talk about witch life, witch stories, and sometimes a little witchcraft. In this episode, I talk with Seka of Magnolia Street Podcast. Seka talks about how life is different after leaving Christianity, finding sisterhood through witchcraft, and why you should just trust the process. Now let's hear from this week's sponsor, Blue Adelines. Do you need everyday goods created with witchy intent? Are you looking for handcrafted magic? Come check out Blue Adelines. From accessories like scrunchies, intentionally made jewelry, to spooky sassy journals, Crafty Witch Lindsay designs gifts for your witchy best friend or yourself at Blue Adelines. Listeners of Your Average Witch are invited to use code YAW at checkout for 15% off select items. Visit Blue Adelines at blueadelines.com to shop. And be sure to follow on Instagram and Facebook and other social media at Blue Adelines. Links will be in the show notes. Now let's get to the stories. Hello, Seka. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Kim. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
A lot of honor. Okay. Would you please introduce yourself and let everybody know who you are and where they can find you on the internet and what you do?
Oh, sure. I am half of what makes up the Magnolia Street podcast. It's a practical magic fandom podcast, along with my co-host, Justina. And I am a practicing kitchen art witch, hedge witch here and there, on and off for many years. And just in the last, probably 8 years, really started to knuckle down and get my practice in order. And I'm a fine artist. I don't know, maybe some of you have seen the Instagym creations for Waba. I somehow become his foster mother. I don't know. I don't know how that happened. I'm a writer. I am a former YouTuber. I used to do a bunch of Book of Shadows pages online, lots of witchy DIYs. And I'm a pagan priestess. I was ordained through the Isis Temple of Geyserville in 2018. I'm online at Seka Artistry. That's where I post a lot of non-witchy art. I'm also at Broom Closet Artistry, where you can see grimoire pages, and also Magnolia Street Podcast.
I did not know you used to be a YouTuber.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Me
too, back a million years ago.
Oh, man. I want to go find your very, very first video. Those are always fun.
I probably deleted it. There's still some old weird shit, but
I was thinking about deleting mine, and people were like, no, you got to leave it up to see how far you have come.
That is true.
Because my very first video was me trying to come to terms with this new pagan path. So I was documenting stepping out of Catholic, hardcore Catholic upbringing. And just so it was my way of exploring the pagan world and seeing that other people have really gone through exactly what I was going through. So that was many moons ago. Yeah.
So what does it mean to you when you call yourself a witch?
So I tend not to use that word too often, and I really should. But I tend to go with pagan because it's sometimes taken with a little more intrigue, I guess. It's not, I don't know if it comes across less woo. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of less scary. Probably,
yeah.
Especially right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But finding reverence and gratitude and the little things making dinner or working in the garden or just stopping to say hi to squirrels. Just finding those little tiny nuggets of time with nature, because this is the youngest you're ever gonna be. You're never gonna be able to appreciate fucking heat. I didn't have heat in this house for a whole year, and every day since then we've been running the heat. Yeah, we moved to the south in 2020, and it didn't come with any HVAC. I mean, it had the stuff in it, but it didn't function. So we did a whole winter without any heat here, and since then, I'm very grateful every day.
That would be unacceptable.
Yeah, I know. It was our first house, but it's absolutely perfect. I can't wait to tell you about it. But acknowledging life cycles, just not my own as a witch, because we tend to focus on maiden, mother, crone, because that's our sexuality. But I find a lot of beauty in the divine masculine as well. I don't work with gods and goddesses, but like taking care of the earth because it takes care of me is how I try to best explain it. I ordained a wedding not long back, and one of the very conservative gentlemen of the bride side was walking with me, and he said, "So I heard you're a witch." And I'm like, oh shit. He's like, "What does that mean?" Which not many people take the time to ask. So I was like, "All right, that's great. Let's talk about it." And I basically let him know that we honor Earth as a whole, Gaia as a whole, and try to take care of her the best we can.
Cool.
I guess. My neighbor is a game warden, or she was. She's since like moved up in the ranks, but she popped over like early on the first couple weeks we moved here. She's like one of the coolest women I've ever met. Super, super tough lady. And she had asked me about it also. And they're, for being like in the deep south, the people around me in this neighborhood are so like open-minded. They don't give a shit. They're just like, don't go sacrificing anything. You know what I mean? And it's really nice to have people with an open mind, especially in the deep south where I am. Okay. And one of your questions you had asked, whose land we are on? And yeah. I was like, I don't know, like tribal land. I've never looked into that. I've only lived here for a couple years, but we're on Catawba land.
Oh.
Yeah. Waxaw is nearby. And so this land is so insanely charged, firstly. And mm-hmm. then we ended up moving into the middle of a family, basically. So there are two older brothers live in separate houses here on my street. It's a dead end road. The one brother's daughter, who's the game warden, lives beside us. The other brother's son lives behind us. And these two brothers, their maternal family, this was all their land during the Civil War and beforehand. So it's really, really interesting to hear the genealogy be traced back through these two men that have all the resources to tell me about it. So it's kind of neat.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of families, do you have any family history with witchcraft?
Not that I know of, because it's so, so Catholic. But like you tend to find parallels. Like I found that Catholics will celebrate the May Queen. You know, I remember growing up being chosen. What? They'll celebrate Mary, the Virgin Mary, as the May Queen.
Huh.
1st of May. And I remember growing up, like it was like a big deal to get picked as the maiden who would crown Mary. Our church would take us like in a procession around the neighborhood. And I was able to crown Mary one year, which is really good. And the other thing is like Maypoles. We used to be a part of a Croatian like dance troupe company, and we would always do like maypole dancing, and their celebrations were always held like around May 1st. And I'm like, this seems a little sus. You know what I mean?
Don't they call it like International Workers' Day or something?
Oh, do they? The Catholics do?
I don't know if the Catholics do, but a bunch of people do. Oh. It might not be Workers' Day. It's International Something Day, but they dance around the maple.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, pagans. Y'all, are y'all serious?
You pagans. Not that I know of within my family. The only person I could think of is my great-great-aunt Blanche. She was alive when I was growing up. She was my grandmother's aunt. So her mother, my Aunt Blanche, and her mother used to read palms and do tea leaf readings.
What?
I know, and I didn't know about this until I was much older, like in my 20s, but that side of my family is very French Canadian. And I know they have roots with the, I'm going to say it wrong, Mi'kmaq tribe up in Canada. And I wish I would have been old enough to understand like and talk to my Aunt Blanche while she was alive to get to know like how, if she still practiced, if it was just for fun, if it was like a novelty, or did people come asking for it, or did they just do it within their family? You know, but I
yeah,
lost, you know, it's really lost. But my mom was really like the magical person in our family without her knowing it. She's not like you know, the such a witch thing that the girls always, the Wabaw girls always say. She, her magic was more like gardening with her, or she was our librarian and our art teacher for a long time. So she would help, she would get us lost in stories of like the Baba Yaga and Streganona. And, you know, she was really instrumental in like the magic of books. But other than that, like garden magic and natural magic, she doesn't, they don't call it magic. They just call it, it's just life, you know? I used to experience what I called like the radio, a lot of clairaudience stuff. And it got to a point.
That's awful to me.
It is. It was absolutely horrendous. And it just got to a point I'd have to out loud say stop or shut up or, you know, it's enough. And I think I did it so much that now it's gone. But it would be stuff in other languages. It would be stuff like tell Ken about the deed to the house. Not Ken. I don't know why I picked that name.
Because my husband's name is Ken.
That must be it. And I would get a lot of like dream messages from ancestors. I used to have a big connection with an aunt that passed away. Her daughter is still alive and we've always been close. But when my aunt passed away, she would come to me and just deliver messages. Usually it was when the kids were having a hard time or there was something that needed to be addressed. And I wouldn't really ask when I called up my cousin and just said, hey, your mom came to me, and I would tell her what was going on. She, you know, you won't believe what just happened kind of thing. So it was always, especially with this aunt, always on point. It was really weird. It doesn't happen much now, but maybe it means she's in a good place and she doesn't need message.
Yeah, you know? That's what I would want to tell myself.
Yeah.
That didn't make things terrible.
No, you're good. I think she is in a really good place, but yeah, lots of clairaudience stuff and not so much childhood, but I was like haunted at one point by an ex-boyfriend who passed away, which is a fucking huge story. You can put it on your Patreon later. We'll go through it.
Incredible. Rude. Really long. That sounds very rude.
What's that?
That seems rude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Super rude.
Sir, we're broken up. Go haunt your mom.
His mom's a cunt.
Even more reason.
I know. Yeah. I can't remember any childhood things. Just I was always outside and our woods felt like that's where I was always supposed to be. I was always supposed to be like a dirt child and mom never had restrictions about us getting dirty or wanting to, you know, spend all evening out playing. So, but that, again, that was the 90s. So much different.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What is your practice like? Do you have any consistent rituals that you do?
Nowadays, not as such. I started getting back into when I get up, I will, stir the intention into the coffee. But it's been getting light out much sooner. So I make sure when I take the dog out, I will go, instead of just opening the door and letting him go, I'll go stand outside. And usually the moon is still out, which is really nice. And I think I used to do a lot of like more ritual and divination, but I'd wake my husband up, you know, for moon events, but that it's just, I don't feel like I need that anymore. You know, lunar eclipses, blood moons.
Come
he knew
look.
The day was there. Yeah. But I'm a terrible practicing witch. I will try to still adhere to celebrating or at least acknowledging the Wheel of the Year. And I used to do like a lot of like DIYs and like elemental work. But there's just, you just kind of fall out of these things or you get burnt out, which sucks because I love following the Wheel of the Year and just finding that link between our lives and how we interact or don't interact. You know, I'm definitely right now, this mid, what are we in February right now? No, thank you. Nothing's growing. Nothing's green. It's really difficult right now.
Yeah. I don't like this month particularly.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about your death spike plan. Is that done?
What? Oh.
Like, how did we segue over here?
I didn't know what you were talking about. Yeah, the hawks, like, we had a family of hawks be born. They're Harris hawks, and those, unlike most other birds of prey, they stay in a family group and they work together to hunt. And so the younger ones, they would stay by the nest, which was in the neighbor's pine tree about, I don't know, 50, 60 feet up. And so the adults would come, I guess, to get away from the screeching because, Jesus, they just screamed all day for food.
Like
they would
children.
Come over. Yeah. They would come over and spend the night in my agave stock, which I didn't know until I went out there one night to do some moon photos.
Oh, my God.
And she started yelling at me, and it scared the crap out of me.
Surprise,
And bitch. I realized, oh, there's a hawk up in the thing. And they would hop around in it, and they just eventually knocked it down. So mine was the same age as my neighbor's, but mine, they literally knocked it down before it even finished flowering. So it's still out there dead. That's how it is.
Oh, my goodness. We had one of those when I lived in California. Ours was like over the roof line tall. How tall did yours get?
Yeah, it was like 20, 25 feet.
Woo, shit.
Yeah, it was big.
That is big.
It did not touch the fence, though, happily.
What happened?
That's also why I know how tall it was, because I was able to measure it on the ground.
Oh, wow. Okay. So the hawks no longer have a sanctuary.
Well, now they just go... They have always stood on the top of the saguaro, especially since the top of that fell off.
Oh, my God.
Because the it's Hela something or other. I don't remember what. Some kind of woodpecker.
Mm-hmm.
It was infested with grubs, I guess, and they pecked in holes.
Oh, wow.
And then sparrows nested in it, and then one day it just blew off.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's still like 15 feet up, and there's like a flat spot without spikes that the hawks like to sit up there and eat whatever they catch and throw feathers and bodies all over the yard.
It was a massacre.
It looks like that. I find stuff over there all the time.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm very sorry for your loss.
Well, there was a good-sized one growing underneath the one that fell, so we're fine.
Oh, my God.
We still have plenty.
Under the saguaro that fell? Or under the...
No, under the agave.
Okay, I gotcha.
There are two under the saguaro, but... I was talking about the agave.
Okay. That's awesome. We need some updated photos, but...
It just looks like a dead plant now.
Then a memorial is needed.
Oh.
What did you ask me?
I have no idea. I really have no idea.
A consistent ritual?
Oh, yeah.
I think a ritual that is not really considered a aesthetic witch ritual is I'll take my dog through our woods almost every day and just connect that way. The woods out here are, like I said, super energized, and get to see the owl, who we named Archimedes, and we get to see the geese. So we get to, you know, we just kind of let Mother Nature know we're still taking care of her. And so that my daily practice would probably be getting him into the forest.
That is good stuff.
Good stuff. Good doggo.
Would you say that witchcraft has changed your life?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. I think before, I don't know if others listening, I'm sure you've had recovering Catholics on here before, but just
it's
the
mainly
guilt.
Catholics and Baptists. It's that's really, who I talk to.
That makes me so happy that we are helping those most in need. Just having like that guilt, not a constant part of my life anymore, is huge. And not being scared of being tempted by the devil, and I think it was like 2016. I used to be a part of a women's circle back in California. It was called the Goddess Studio. And we would meet up for Sabbats, full moons. They also had like meditations and belly dancing. And that's where I was ordained to be a priestess. But at one point in the year, I think it was around Imbolc, early February, they did an honoring of Mary Magdalene, which I had first read the event information. And I'm like, that's kind of weird to have, you know, a Catholic or Christian person be honored at this place. So I was like, I want to check it out. And they had a washing of the feet ceremony for the women who went. And for those who don't know, like in the Bible, Mary Magdalene washes Jesus' feet and then she's given shit for it because she uses a certain oil that I don't remember. And the woman, there's a book called The Woman with the Alabaster Jar by Margaret Starbird that is so completely amazing, all about Mary Magdalene. But during this ceremony, we were invited to wash the feet of the women there with this oil, anoint with the oil, and then in turn be washed, have our feet washed too. But the blessing that they had bestowed on us, I guess, at the time was that like you are being washed free, like of any notion that you were ever born of sin, that you are perfect and you are released from any guilt that has ever been put upon you, any shame that has ever been put upon you. And that was like so life-changing. Like you can imagine, like all the women, one woman starts crying, they all start crying, you know?
I approve of that.
It was really, really beautiful. And I don't have sisters. So finding that sisterhood in witchcraft was eye-opening. Like I'm an Aquarius moon, so I tend to put myself like as an island sometimes, and I have a hard time tapping into my feminine side. So through witchcraft, like I've found a little more of a balance, I guess. I had a natal chart done a long time ago, and the woman said, like, I have no fire in my chart, A, but B, there's a perfect balance of the masculine and feminine, which was great. I was like, I don't really feel the feminine side all that much. So that is still something I'm working on. And just following the wheel of the year is when I do get into moments like this in mid-February, when I'm just ready to not be here, just ascend anywhere else. Following the wheel of the year and having people around me who do so also remind me that it has a purpose. We're supposed to be in this time right now to dig deep. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. I hate it, but I get it. Definitely has changed many things. And there's a YouTuber, not a YouTuber. Her son records her. It's called Country Farm Life. And it's beautifully shot. It's about a husband and wife in Azerbaijan. And this woman just, she looks like a bubba. Like she looks like my great grandmother. She's got the babushka and her hands are fucking massive. And she's just cooking all the time or preparing something, you know, for the village all the time. But the way it's shot, there's no background music. There's no dialogue really. It's her intently and with, you know, dedication and precision preparing these things. And that is so like inspirational to be present, I think. And witchcraft definitely is so hard. It's so hard, Kim, like being present for me. Mm-hmm. So that has helped a lot. So check out Country Farm Life, not sponsored.
I will. That sounds, yeah. I like when they aren't mic'd. They're just doing whatever they do.
Yeah, she doesn't say anything. It's really stunning, like countryside. And she's really doing everything like the old school way. She's like making little bonfires and harvesting their crop and preparing their crop.
Is there wood chopping? Because I fucking love wood chopping.
Loving so much wood chopping. The way they do it too, I'm like, you're going to take a thumb off. Love a wood chop.
What would you say is the biggest motivator in your practice?
Oh, Jesus, that's hard. Do you know have you ever seen The Mummy?
Nope.
Oh, goddamn. So there's a character in the Mummy called Evie O'Connell. Have you ever seen Tomb Raider?
Nope. I've seen the memes of The Mummy, so I think I know who it is. Is it the cute chick?
She's very pretty. Yeah, brown hair, curly brown hair.
Pretty eyes.
Very pretty eyes. Rachel Weisz.
Yeah, I've seen her.
Okay. So growing up, like, characters like Evie is her name, and when Angelina Jolie playing Laura Croft, like, mm-hmm. these women have so much knowledge. Like knowledge is so sexy to me, and I just want to be that. It was so cool, and I really strive for those scholarly pursuits. And being able to have the podcast now that I host with Justina, the Magnolia Street podcast, it's everything that I think I'll stand here to do, you know, gathering research and history and folklore and being knowledgeable about like historical people and biographies and nonfiction is my thing. Like that's what motivates me is knowing like who and what came before and how their, I guess their strife, you know, got us here. I don't want to ever be the smartest person in the room, but I really enjoy learning about others, I guess is the biggest thing. There's no right way for witchcraft, right? No right way for a practice. So learning the way others do things, it's such a melting pot. It's a beautiful melting pot of that beef fucking stew that you are able to learn from and just boil in. You either got to be funny or you got to be smart or artistic because that came in handy, right?
Yep. So, I get it.
Yeah. Having that pursuit of life, like the pursuit of other people's lives is really, really cool to me. That's my motivator in my practice. And also seeing like stuff grow. I love being a gardener and like getting all excited. Like plant has a new baby leaf. You go over and make a big deal out of it because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Can't relate. I don't have the patience for plants. And then when they do start growing, I'm like, okay, you're on your own. And then they die. So.
No, Kim.
I live in the desert. Shit fucks up.
You're 100% right. I will put in all the effort to get that little thing to do anything. And then I'm like, okay, cool. You're on your, like, you're going to go outside. You're supposed to live in the ground. I have killed 7 to 8 lavender plants. Not sure why. They don't want anything from you.
Because
they don't
need anything. Us. Lavender hates people who aren't French.
Hate. But I'm French Canadian. My family's from France. So
yeah, but you're not in France.
I know. Oh, I have killed so much lavender. And it's a part of the learning curve. I get it. But shit, you'd think it would just take over. Put your roots, get your roots down there, soak up the water, get your little leaves, arms, soak up that sun.
I couldn't even keep mint and rosemary alive. So yes. There that is.
Exactly.
My agave died, and that lives here naturally. I didn't have to do anything, but it died.
You know what? I wonder if it had – maybe it's some kind of protectant for you. Maybe there was some miasma like floating around, and it's like I need to absorb this for Kim. I will take that.
It's me. I'm the miasma.
I don't think that's it. I don't think that's it. You get that out of here. Get that out of here. I think it was protecting you somehow. You're like, okay.
Well, it was actually my favorite thing on the property. So
yeah,
I just loved it too hard.
Do they
and it's like my bitch?
I know there's no way you could get one nearly that old, but like when it is gone, do you think you could put another in its place? Or do you think it's...
Well, the one that it's one of its pups is directly where it was. So we're just letting it grow.
Okay. I have faith.
And they grow actually way faster than you would think. It's like 10 years.
Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah. Like, not like the saguaro. The top will never come back. But I thought it was on death's door, but it's popping out some new arms.
Dude, that's awesome. We just did an episode on the saguaro, and fucking fascinating. The oldest one ever found was like 78 feet tall or something like that. And all these big, big giants always get knocked out with like lightning or like fire. Ooh, which is,
I don't love that.
I know. Well, like
it's
imagine
kind of close to my house.
The tallest thing out there, you know, you're just a beacon for lightning.
Oh, yeah. But, the neighbor's trees are way taller than my saguaro, especially since the top fell off.
You're fine. Yeah. Check out that saguaro lore. It's so beautiful.
Now that my giant agave died, that's my new favorite thing.
Agave, you didn't put in enough effort. You're demoted.
It did, though. It put in so much effort that it sprouted its seed stock and gave up her life for her babies. And then the hawks murdered her.
This is the circle of life. Do they eat the agave at all? Or they just snapped
no.
They just snapped it off, right?
They just sat on her and jumped up and down until the roots were like, I quit, bitch. Fuck you.
Bunch of assholes. They're like that gang of like fuck boys roaming around the streets just looking to mess shit up. I'm so sorry. That sucks.
Yeah, there are plenty more. There are literally plenty more.
I think I got your my motivator. Yeah, I think that was a hard one. That was a hard one to look over. I was like, I don't feel motivated almost ever. Like the changing of the seasons really is the only thing that, again, coming back to like being present, I'm always looking ahead to that like next thing, like the next change. I can't wait for spring. And then it's kind of fuck off with summer. But like then I can't wait for Samhain and Yule. And I'm trying not to wish the year away. But definitely the seasons changing is a big motivator, and it gets kind of amped up, you know?
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready for some warms myself.
Some warms. What is it there now?
It's actually pretty nice. And when I went out to fill in all the holes that the goddamn dog kept getting out of the fence, I got too hot.
Oh, God. Okay. It's here.
It's coming. It's probably like, hold on, I've got my phone right here. It is 55.
Oh, that's really nice.
It's a little bit cool for me.
A little sweater.
If I'm out doing physical labor in the sun wearing fleece pants and a pair of sweatpants and a shirt and a flannel and a hoodie,
yeah,
then it's too warm. But it's cool if you're not doing shit, which is what I like to do.
Nice. There's no, what do they say? There's no bad weather, just bad clothing, right? You just got to dress appropriately. That's not true at all.
I don't agree. Yeah, you're right. I don't agree with that statement. I want to wear my tank top and my sandals without socks and my big basketball shorts, and that's it. Maybe that's a hat to keep the sun out of my eyeballs.
Yeah. No humidity.
Would you say, oh God, no.
Yeah.
Part of the reason we're here.
Right? Because you were East Coast before.
Yeah, I'm from Virginia.
Yeah. Oh my God. Do you like the dry heat?
Yeah.
Nice. I did not like
it. I hate being cold. I fucking hate it. Would you say that you have imposter syndrome?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Who doesn't? I don't. Every single waking hour it's kind of like the Holly King and the Oak King battling out like all the time, you know?
To pull it back to witchcraft. What do you do about it?
So not so much like with the witchcraft, but definitely with my art is very difficult. With the witchcraft is like, since I'm, like I said, like a trash, which basically I'm like, I know my effort is there and it's going to work, whether in the timeline I want it to work or not. But I think with the art, it's very difficult. And like, you're always your biggest critic. I think that it's okay. It's okay to have imposter syndrome because it's, if you said no, you'd be fucking lying, you know? And to tell people that you have that or you experienced that, even if they will, they're going to support you. You know, my friends always support me and they applaud what I'm doing and are wonderful. But like, if you're not honest about feeling like shit, then people are always going to, they're not going to really know the real you. Like, my value is not trying to be perfect. I think it's just those imperfections. And I think finding the best way to keep pushing forward through those things that aren't perfect. How do I deal with imposter syndrome? I really want to make a sign that just says trust the process, like as big as I can, and you know, have it in my studio, not just like to look out for art, but for life. It's like, that's all right. You're not going to get everything the first time. And that fucking drives me crazy. I hate not being able to get something the first time.
Me too.
I don't want to do it if that's the case, you know? And I think it was this past Samhain, I sat down in my studio. I have like a small ancestral altar. And for, I don't know why, I was like, I thought I needed to introduce some people because I've lost some people that don't really know my family. And they're like, oh, why the hell am I here with all these people, you know? And I used to have like this gnawing thought always in the back of my mind about being, when I was growing up, about being bullied throughout school. And my grandfather came forward, and the French side grandfather came forward, and he was like, why are you now like your bully? Why are you the biggest bully? Like, I don't know why you're treating yourself this way. Like, if it was anybody else, you know, all this bullying that you endured happened in the past. Like, the only person putting yourself down now is you. These people have their own lives. They don't even think about you. Why is that something still in the back of your mind that continually comes forward, I guess? I'm like, Grandpa, you're pretty smart. And so working on being a lot nicer to myself helps combat that imposter syndrome. Like, you put the childhood photo of yourself, you know, on your vanity so you can see yourself every day and just tell yourself you're doing a good job. Like, you're doing just fine. Like, I fuck up all the time now. And instead of being like, oh, you stupid. Yeah. Like, you stupid idiot. Like, what are you doing? I just say, it's okay. It's all right. You're still learning. You're just having fun. That's all right. Cause I noticed, I was probably 2 years ago, like, if I could make my job harder for myself somehow where I was working at the time, absolutely 100% of the time, something else would happen to make my job harder. Like, I'd have to go through more steps before, you know, accomplishing what I needed. And that's, it's not helpful ever. So gotta be nice to your little child self.
I think that's my favorite answer ever.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Thank you.
I really like it.
Well, thank Grandpa. He's a smart man.
Thanks, Grandpa.
Yeah. He passed away like the day before my 8th birthday.
Oh, and man.
I know. Yeah. And so he didn't get to really see me grow up. But now I think I was just trying to figure out like how he would if he was still alive, like, and he was meeting me today, like, why are you being such a bully to my granddaughter? And that was the thought that kept coming to my mind. So don't be a bully to yourself.
TM.
Yeah. Intellectual property.
What would you say is your biggest struggle when it comes to your practice?
Definitely. I've listened to your show, and I'm not alone in saying consistency, for sure. But that comes with like, everybody's going to ebb and flow and burn out. Definitely listening to your podcast and the Girls in Wabah, like, I think it's so humanizing, and it makes you feel much closer to hear other people go through it all the time. That's how we're all connected, and you don't have to be pushing out constant content, constant ancestor work, constant, you know, it's okay. That is my biggest struggle. And like, telling people about my podcast is really hard because it's like such a niche thing that it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, what's your podcast about? It's about a movie. But really, it's about a series of books dealing with witchcraft, which is cool. And we pick apart all the aspects of the history and the lore and the herbalism and the traditions. And but like telling people about it initially is like, it's kind of a little embarrassing still.
Stop it immediately.
I know. Yeah.
What brings you the most joy in your practice?
I think seeing others, whether it's knowing or unknowingly, do like witchy things, and then want to know more about it. You know, somebody that comes to my mind is my friend Caitlin, who I've known since kindergarten, and she too grew up in the same Catholic school, did all the same Catholic things. And it wasn't until like the last 2 years that she really started to accept her intuitiveness, her intuition. And she now has been exploring Reiki work and connecting to all these other avenues and paths. And it's really cool to see her thriving that way. As well as I have a goddess daughter. Yeah, people have goddaughters. I have a goddess daughter.
Oh.
And she's about 3 now, and she visited over the summer. And her mama's a witch also. So we got a little witchling running around. And I never, you know, we're not having kids here, but she and I would go out exploring and stuff. And every time we would go into the woods, I'd always tell her to like greet the forest spirits, and tell them we're just there to enjoy the walk, and we, you know, we're there to honor you. And, you know, when we leave, we say goodbye. And the one day it was toward the end of their visit. They were here for about 3 months, and she was just doing it on her own. We would come out of the woods, and she'd turn around, little 3-year-old little child, be like, bye bye, forest spirits. I'm like, oh my God, that was pretty dang cute. It was really cute. And just the support.
Yeah. I like bringing loner kids into the woods. It sounds so creepy, but as I was saying it, I was like, stop talking. But it's fun to show kids stuff like that.
They're just little sponges, you know, just they would go. I have like elemental points at the four corners of my property, and she and I would go and just bring a little offering to everybody and say hi to the water elements and the fire elements. She's asking questions. She don't know shit. She's a little 3-year-old, but it was so cool that all her – to have that like childlike wonder, you know, when you first discover the witch, the pagan path, you feel like that, right? Like you feel like that little child. And I really mm-hmm. loved to see that. Yeah.
What is your biggest fear in witchcraft?
Upsetting the fae, I think. I don't leave many offerings. The first year I did, we have in just like less than 10 feet into our wood line, there's a huge tree trunk that was, I guess, you know, when it was a sapling, it was bent over for a muskrat trap, I think. But since then, it has grown into this huge like portal tree, and you can walk under it. And I used to leave offering out there. And then the 1 year I didn't. Oh, so much shit went wrong. And I was just like, I'm so sorry. Never again. I'm so sorry. Yeah, definitely upsetting the fae. And I think that's really it. In witchcraft, I try not to be too fearful, because I know it all comes from intention. Initially, I think it was like trying not to be scared when stuff like worked, when I used to do ritual. Trying not to freak out, trying not to logic my way out of it. That Aquarius moon coming back around, you know, it's all, we are powerful, and it's kind of scary to own that, you know, that we can change the fabric of the universe sometimes. Yeah.
I think it's cool, and I wish more people would acknowledge and recognize it.
Yes. The universe is not as lazy to have as like, what is the saying? Like the coincidences.
I have no idea.
Yeah, the universe is not that lazy as far as coincidences are concerned, like there's a reason, and all you have to do is listen.
Right? Hmm. I've never heard that.
Universe has you. It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pronoia. That's the opposite of paranoia.
I guess. I just fake it till you make it.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely what I do in my entire life. Always.
Yeah. There is the opposite of imposter syndrome. We were talking about the woman, Stockard Channing, who plays one of the characters in Practical Magic, and that she knew, I guess she knew like a little bit of French, right? But if you said you knew a language, then you were allowed to go to that country and dub the movie for that language. And so she said she knew French and like flew out and then had to dub the movie. And she was like, I didn't fucking know French. I just wanted to go to France. And if more people could just embody this, the Stockard Channing energy of like, I'll fucking figure it out, then I think the world would be all right.
What's something you did early on in your practice that you no longer do, and why don't you do it anymore?
Ugh. There's the guilt. Why don't I do it anymore? I think it's the Wheel of the Year crafts or Sabbath pages. You know, I just got so burnt out. I really loved to try to do a page of something different every time a Sabbath would come around. And it's just like, YouTube, I don't know if it was the same for you, but like YouTubing is hard. Like it was a lot of work. I just want to do the fucking thing. I just want to honor or create without worrying about lighting, worrying about a camera. So that really kind of definitely changed. Having to like film everything about, I guess, the coming out process, you know, I was still trying to figure it out. And the only way, I'm a super visual person, the only way to figure it out was to show people how, I guess, I was interacting with the situation or the time of year and see what they had to say about it and what I could learn from them that way. So I no longer do those pages. If I do, it's so, so rare. The last one I did, I think, was in honor of like one of Charlie's topics. I think she was talking about a honey jar. And so I did a honey jar page, and that was probably the last artsy, witchy combo that I had done.
What? You just did some gem stuff.
I know. That's true. I don't know if I guess he falls in the witchy realm, but I mean, like, it's hard work being Jim's mom. He takes a lot of me. That was really fun, but yeah, as far as like the my practice is concerned, definitely like the
okay, that's fair.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Jim.
What is your favorite tool in your practice and why? It does not have to be a physical object.
Oh, fuck. I really don't have one. Is paintbrush? That's fucking weird.
If it is for you, because mine is my studio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is pretty dope space. I wish I would work outside a little more. But yeah, definitely my studio. I like that. Sorry, I'm going to take your answer. My studio
is how dare you. Excuse you, ma'am.
I think my favorite tool. I really love my herbalism books. Those are really cool. Helps me not poison myself, which is great.
That's always good.
Yeah. My friend Caitlin, who I mentioned, gifted me a really cool herbalism book by Rosemary Gladstar. It's called Medicinal Herbs. Sorry, I was trying to look at the title. Because I was sick like this past year for a long time. I had this weird fucking cough that would not go away. So I was taking what I had, like marshmallow root and echinacea and stuff like that. And I was like, I don't know. And a few other things. But together, I was not really sure if they had adverse side effects together. She was like, I need you to take this book and not poison yourself. So I really do appreciate the herbalism books.
I want somebody to write one called something like how not to make yourself die in the garden.
Yeah. Secret killers of the garden and how to avoid them. Yeah. Just wear gloves all the time.
I do because of the OCD.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. And no, not all the time, but a lot of the time. We go through a lot of those gloves.
I need to wear them more. I had to go on like steroids last year because I had so much poison ivy. I know what the shit looks like.
Oh my God, that's the fucking, I still don't know what it looks like. And if I get it, it's on my goddamn face. So many fucking prednisones.
Oh man.
I relate so hard to that. Oh my God.
It's the worst. I'm just trying to peck the weeds between the lattice. I don't know what the fuck poison ivy's doing here, but yeah, it was bad.
Another reason I'm glad to live out here. Jesus. Oh my God. I remember being at work. I was a midnight stalker at Kroger. Mm-hmm. And I went into work and they thought my ex, he was my husband at the time. They thought he had been beating me.
Oh my.
It's like, no, man. I just got real bad poison ivy. I make bad choices.
Do you have any, like, any Southwest equivalent that you have to watch out for?
I don't know.
Stinging
there's
nettle?
Something out here that does make me – yeah, well, I know there's something because I keep getting it
oh,
periodically
dang.
On my hands. But because of COVID, I wash my hands all the fucking time. Plus, I wear gloves all the time now because I'm fucking crazy.
Is it a – you don't think it's like a – like a rat, like a maybe airborne, like
I have no
allergen?
Fucking clue. Dude, if I knew, I would get rid of it. I don't know what the fuck it is.
That sucks. That really sucks. Speaking of,
it's
like,
very infrequent. It's only happened like 3 times since we've lived here.
Is it, does it happen a certain time of year?
I don't know.
Okay. Maybe we should catalog.
I think it's something the dogs are getting into. I probably should, but I do not.
Wear those gloves, Kim.
It's something the dogs get into and then come and love me. And then I'm like, fuck, my hands itch. But it doesn't get on my face anymore. Jesus, where's the wood?
Yeah.
It doesn't get on my face anymore.
Yeah. Ouch. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's no joke.
If you could only recommend one book to a new witch, what would it be and why?
I think it would be Women Who Run with the Wolves. By Clarissa Pinkola Estes. I don't know if that has been said on the show before, but it's definitely not really a cover to cover read. It talks about the archetypal women's journey, basically, but told through folk tales. I know a big one in there is Story of Bluebeard. They have Baba Yaga. They have quite a few other ones, she has quite a few other ones, and just relating that back to points in a woman's life. You know, it don't have to be a woman, I guess, but it was really eye-opening. I don't think you even have to read it in order, because she'll talk about a folktale and then kind of take it apart. So definitely Women Who Run with Wolves. I lost my copy though. I saw this question on here and I was like, oh fuck, I should go find my book. I don't know what happened to it. I can't find it. And it's one of those books that you will want to maybe have a second copy, because I had written throughout almost all of it. You know, you just, it's one of those books, or it's a margin writer for sure.
That's sacrilege for me.
That's why you have more than one copy.
I cannot.
Or if you get it on, I guess, your Kindle, then you can
take
it.
That's how I have it.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you read that one?
I'm a little – I have not the whole thing.
Okay. Yeah. It's a good one. Let's go and touch back on. I wish I could do a runner-up. Can I do a runner-up?
Yeah.
There's another book called Big Magic by – it doesn't have to do with witchcraft, but who's the woman who wrote like Eat, Pray, Love? Elizabeth Gilbert? Is that – I think that's her name. Big Magic talks about just like – it's so perfect for the imposter syndrome thing or being in a slump thing. Of she just has like a tough love approach to being creative. And you don't always have to be creative. However, take your time off and then fucking get back to it. You know, don't make an excuse of the dishes need to be done or the cleaning has to be. There will always be something to clean. Just go fucking do it. And I'm guilty of like, oh, I need to get the chores done before I can sit and be artistic or productive, you know, in a sedentary sort of way. And it's really a kick in the ass. So Big Magic is a good one when you're feeling a little stagnant, I think.
Did you just segue me?
Did I?
How do you pull yourself out of a magical slump?
Perfect. Oh. I haven't actually picked up that book in a really long time. And I feel like I'm in a good place right now that I don't need to be pulled out of a slump. But when I do, like, you just have to let it run its course. And you can't really be forceful. But like a big way that I do is listening to the Witch Witch Amateur Hour seasonal episodes. Like if I'm feeling like, ugh, like at this time of year, I think I'll pull out like their like the sunflower or the Ostara episode or like seasonally botanical episodes to get myself excited about what's coming up and how I can prepare for it. So I really love doing that with their episodes and making them like little playlists for spring, summer, winter, and fall, just in case there's a time of year, you know, because it's not always the same.
That's cool.
I love it. They're such magical creatures.
Have you told them you do that?
No, I don't think so.
You have to.
I think they have something for everybody. And I'll try to go back actually yearly. I think Charlie talks about the not having resolutions and how important that is. And I'll listen to that close to New Year's almost every year. I think I started listening to them around their episode 10. So many, you know, the many moons had passed. Mm-hmm. But I love their seasonal stuff. So that helps.
I love them.
I love them too.
Who would you say are the three biggest influences on your practice?
Definitely this property. It's so, like when I lived in California, it was a different kind of energy for sure. It was like more, I don't know if it's because the desert to me is like so serious. It's more serious for some reason, but like the woods here. Yeah. The forest here is definitely different. When I was in California, the energy out there felt much more serious for some reason. I don't know why. We would visit like Joshua Tree a lot. And I always almost had this like sense of like melancholy and quiet. I'm not sure why, but here, like with the land I'm on, everything feels like really playful and light and like it's dancing all the time. And there was something, it felt like there was something here when I initially moved in that was kind of curious, but not sure. I was always picturing like a guy standing at the wood line back there behind our house. And I'd freak myself out. There was never anything there. I could never see anything. But like in my mind's eye, I'm like, all right, dude, all right, he might be there. Whenever it's foggy, my husband likes to call it that Civil War ghost weather because we're right in the middle of it. Yeah. So I'm not looking forward to seeing like Jedediah coming out of the woods or anything. But since, you know, all the moving in happened and I get to just love on the forest as much as I want. And the whole property behind us is owned by the one of the brothers that I mentioned earlier. And behind him is an older gentleman that just has a huge acreage that's just used for farmland and his like fishing sport. He doesn't live there at all. He just comes down to go fishing and he's super sweet, super kind. And we always are able to enjoy that space. But seeing like the geese come in or seeing the persimmon buds on the trees like that is, it kind of just signals to me what needs to be focused on in the practice. So I tried to bring that back to the elemental points around my property and adorn the little altars at, you know, the cardinal directions. My friend Caitlin's a big influence also. She is so tapped in and she's kind of a latecomer to the game. You know, we're all always going to be like newbie witches, right? But She had always just been very, very Christian and interested in like tarot and stuff like that. But it wasn't until recently, the last 2 years or something, I mentioned she's just exploded with creativity, and she amazes me every day. So her excitement gets me excited. I don't know if that makes sense. And my mental state influences my practice a lot. If I'm not feeling it, I'm not doing it, you know?
Do you have any advice for new witches?
Oh, that's hard. That's hard. I did a YouTube a long time ago about things I wish I would have known, like as a newbie witch. So I'm just going to like cheat and pull from those. But I would tell them that you don't have to be a creatrix right off the bat. Like, you don't have to. It's great. It's great to want to do ritual. But really, like, savoring it. I think a lot of people like rush into things like that. You don't have to try to do every craft, every seasonal craft like I was doing. You don't have to engage or follow with every witchy creator. There's no dress code ever. I would love to be like fucking Stevie Nicks romping around out in my garden. That there's no way, you know, there's no dress code. If black is your thing, cool. If you want to be sparkly unicorn, fucking cool. I usually am cut off sleeve shirt, biker shorts, and rubber boots, you know, so which is where what feels comfy. Your tools are everywhere. Your craft tools. Like, I'm a material person, and it takes a lot to be like, you don't need all that stuff. It's all around you, and it's in your intention. One of the big things I've learned is like using discernment with others who are on the same path. They might be, it's very exciting, right? To meet another witch. It's so exciting. But these people are always, they're going to always have their own opinions also. And that might not jive with you. They're human, just because it's like a Christian befriending a Christian, you know, a pagan or witch befriending a pagan or witch is not, you don't have to force a connection just because you share the same path. You might not disagree on, or might not agree on everything. You're going to spend a lot of your ritual time trying to get your charcoal disc to light. So invest in one of those torches, you know, the wind resistant lighters. That's helpful. And just don't freak out when your magic works, because it's going to work. And be patient. Yeah, don't freak out, because you're a powerful bitch. Right?
Aw, I like it. I just see you patting someone on the head after you said that.
Don't freak out, little witch.
It's okay.
You're a powerful bitch.
You're a powerful bitch. Everything's fine. Go have fun now.
With you. Don't tell the Fae your name or anything. Go, 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 go. Yep.
Who do you think I should have on the show?
Well, you did reach out to Justina. She's still kind of on the fence. She's very nervous. For being a Sagittarius, she's like not. She's like, I want to talk with her, but I don't know if I'm ready yet. So I'm going to suggest talking to Caitlin, my friend Caitlin, who also does fiber art with intention. She's a Reiki practitioner, and she's also like super super intuitive and working toward possibly. I did not know that this was a thing of, I guess there's a meld of Reiki work in the OR, in hospitals. So becoming an OR Reiki practitioner.
What? Yes.
Isn't that amazing? She's a
good for the health medical community.
It's insane. I guess the effect it has on the healing time, the amount of medication somebody needs later on down the line has been shown to be much less. And I think it's really, really cool. I hope she really continues to go down in search of that path, because she's a registered nurse. She worked with maternity and newborns for a long time, and it's just really fucking cool to see somebody melding the medical world with the spiritual world. I love that. I think she's fantastic. So her name is Caitlin, and her fiber arts is called Benultra Handmade, and I guess it's a Celtic word for nurse because she's a nurse. I'm like, good on you.
Cool.
She's cool. I like her. Okay. Water break.
Is there anything else you wanted to bring up? Anything I didn't ask you or anything you wanted to ask me?
Initially, when you I don't think we included this, but like you messaged me and I was like, did you email the wrong person? Like, are you sure you were trying to ask us for an interview? So I'm just curious if that was like on your behalf or if somebody was like, hey, reach out to them, I guess.
It was
Yay!
Me.
I got it from Queen Bee herself. Fuck yeah. That would be.
I actually asked Corey if he thought you would be on, and he was like, yeah, just ask.
There you
so
go.
I did.
Oh, I'm glad you did. I really was very nervous, but we had all the giggles, like, got that nervous energy focused somewhere else. So I appreciate that. Yeah.
Good.
We have, I don't know. If you want to visit me, I'm over at Seca Artistry, and I have a Teespring also linked over there. You can find me there, and our Magnolia Street podcast comes out every Friday. That's it.
So at the end.
Yes.
I order you to do two things.
I see two surprise questions. Okay. It's not.
First, recommend something to the listeners.
Go outside. Right now.
Good one.
Be in the sunlight. Did you say two things? Oh, Jesus.
No. Well, there are two orders, but the first one is recommend something. Which you
okay.
did.
Okay.
The second one is tell me a story. Tell me a gathering story, something you would tell around a campfire or after a family reunion meal when you're all sitting around out in the yard watching fireflies, or I don't know what happened when you grew up. That's what happened when I grew up. There were fireflies and lawn chairs and somebody had a beer and maybe the hibachi thing so the kids could roast marshmallows. What story do you tell?
A story that comes to mind is when I was in 7th, 8th grade. Our trick-or-treat neighborhood was suburban, but there were no sidewalks. And traditionally we would go down to my uncle's farm that was at the end of the road. And my grandfather would take us kids like on the tractor with a little cart hooked up to the back. And like, he'd take us like through the woods and past like the old, like fucking creepy silo that was bent over and across a little stream. And as a kid, like, it's the coolest, creepiest thing because you're all tucked in there. Well, I was not so much a kid at this time. And I remember inviting a friend of mine to come trick-or-treating with us this year. And I had told my brother, I said, I want to scare my friend when we go do this little tractor ride. But he was probably in high school, so he had like a couple dude friends. I was like, let's scare her. I really want to scare her. So I thought the guys were just going to like rattle some bushes or whatever. All his guy friends were with us at the time. So we're in the tractor. And my older brother, I guess, pulled the choke to make the tractor start sputtering. And we're cruising to a halt. And he actually shut it off. He was like, do you hear that? And I'm like, all right, I think this is the time. I think he's trying to scare everybody. Up ahead, like near the silo, it was dark, but I think there was, you know, enough of a moon that you could see everything around you in the woods. There was this huge fucking guy. There's huge, very tall man with a sickle or a scythe. And I was like, what's happening? What the fuck's happening?
I hate this.
Or do you hate, you said you hate this?
I hate this.
And I'm like, I know what you guys are trying to do. I know. You're just trying to scare us. And all the guys are like, we need to fucking run. They're like getting us all jazzed up. We know. We got to fucking run. We got to run. We got to run. We got to go. And this tall man is chasing us like through the woods with the scythe. I'm pushing my friend. I'm pushing all his friends out of the way. We get out of the woods. We get to the driveway of our uncle's house. And we can hear like ruckus and screaming from in the woods. And I took off for home. I was fucking out of there. I left my little brother. I left my friend. I left all of his friends. And I ran home. And to this day, they will not let me forget that I ran all the way home. And in my mind, I'm like, well, I just wanted to tattle on them too. You know, because they scared us. And they were like, no, you were fucking scared. My grandfather had circled around the long way and dressed up in like a trench coat and had a scythe and had scared all the kids. And they will never let me forget that I ran all the way home that night.
That is wonderful. You. Your granddad is freaking cool.
He is an amazing person. Yeah, he's cool. My great-grandmother was the same way. She loved practical jokes. This is also the same woman who would watch like roller derby and wrestling. They're from immigrants from Croatia, but she fucking loved like monster car rallies. Weird family. I wish I had a cooler story, but that's the one that stuck out.
That is a good-ass story. Thank what you. Are you talking about? That's great. Well, thank you for coming on the show and telling me stories. Yeah.
It's awesome getting to meet you. Thanks for having me.
Oh gosh.
Darn to you, Will.
All right, then I will see you on the internet. Bye. So, Sekka.
Yes.
Welcome to Patreon.
Ooh, hey, patrons.
That means I hit mute a lot less. Like a barnyard.
It was the most disgusting thing I've ever had.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't
it
like it.
It smells like, it tastes like a barnyard smells. I don't want that.
I don't want that in my mouth. It tastes like shit. So that was
no. To hear more of the Patreon episode, head over to patreon.com/cleverkimscurios for a free 7-day trial. The $5 tier will give you podcast bonuses, videos, recipes, access to the Marco Polo and Facebook groups, and more. There are also tiers starting at $10 where you can get spell boxes, intentional handcrafted jewelry that I make especially for witches, and there's even a special crystal tier. Check it out at patreon.com/cleverkimscurios. Thanks for listening to this episode of Your Average Witch. You can find us all around the internet on Instagram at Your Average Witch Podcast, Facebook at facebook.com/YourAverageWitchPodcast, at YourAverageWitch.com, and at your favorite podcast service. Want to help the podcast grow? Leave a review. You can review us on Amazon and Apple Podcasts, and now you can rate us on Spotify. You just might hear your review read at the end of an episode. To rate Your Average Witch on Spotify, click the home key, click on Your Average Witch Podcast, and then leave a rating. If you'd like to recommend someone for the podcast, like to be on it yourself, or if you'd like to advertise on the podcast, send an email to YourAverageWitchPodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next Tuesday.